Hi everyone. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of 17 May. My name is Yaku. I'm one of the pastors at Chofar Somerset West. Me and my family, we've been here in Somerset West for just over a year now, and it's been an amazing time. It's such a privilege to be so close to all of you, to be close to the beach, to be close to the mountain. Obviously, we can't experience all of this right now in lockdown, but it's been a privilege to be here. And we've experienced challenges and breakthroughs and testimonies. We've made new friends, and we're thankful for God for this time that we had with all of you here in Shofar Somerset West. And before I'm going to share more the word that God has laid in my heart, I just want to pray for us. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can be together like this. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with me right now. You are with everyone that is watching, that is listening to the audio. You know each one of us. You know our dreams, our desires. You know our fears. You know what we are going through. You know our challenges right now. But Father, thank you that we can bring all of this to you. And right now I pray, Lord, and ask that you will help us to focus on you. I pray for a time to lay aside the distractions, that each one will be able to focus on the word. Each one will receive the word that you want to give us in this time. That we will hear you, and that we will connect with you, our God, our Almighty Father, our Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is day 51. It's 9 hours in if you're watching this, 9 o'clock. It's 9 hours in, a few minutes, a few seconds. Me and my family, we're still doing well. It's been quite long. It's been a long lockdown. And I can say that we're doing what every family, I suppose, are doing in this time. We're having fun together. We work together. We work at home. The children are getting work from school. They're all in Beaumont. We're really thankful for what how hard the teachers are trying to give things through to them. So they are working. We've organized our day in a different schedule, that there's work time, play time, reading time. This is not for the kids. For me, it's just work time. But work time, play time, reading time, creative time, lunch time, all of that. I've baked some popcorn. I've made fudge. I've made omelette. I still do pancakes. That's my specialities: pancakes, popcorn, and fudge. Samuel has made cookies, melting moments. Gustav has made a chocolate cake. Lucy has made cookies as well, chocolate cookies. Lee's, well, she's always making things. Baking, not baking, but making. So it's been going well. One thing that stood out for me in this time is just the privilege of eating together as a family. That's been really special. The family time has been really special. And eating together almost all the meals, breakfast, lunch, supper, being together as a family. And that reminds me of Jesus in the Gospels. If you look at the Gospels, you will often see Jesus is going to someone's house. He's coming from someone's house. He's planning to go to someone's house. There's often meals involved. With me right now, you're with everyone that is watching, that is listening to the audio. You know each one of us. You know our dreams, our desires. You know our fears. You know what we are going through. You know our challenges right now. But Father, thank you that we can bring all of this to you. And right now I pray, Lord, and ask that you will help us to focus on you. I pray for a time to lay aside the distractions, that each one will be able to focus on the word. Each one will receive the word that you want to give us in this time. That we will hear you, and that we will connect with you, our God, our Almighty Father, our Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is day 51. It's 9 hours in if you're watching this, 9 o'clock. It's 9 hours in, a few minutes, a few seconds. Me and my family, we're still doing well. It's been quite long. It's been a long lockdown. And I can say that we're doing what every family, I suppose, are doing in this time. We're having fun together. We work together. We work at home. The children are getting work from school. They're all in Beaumont. We're very thankful for what how hard the teachers are trying to give things through to them. So they are working. We've organized our day in a different schedule, that there's work time, play time, reading time. This is not for the kids. For me, it's just work time. But work time, play time, reading time, creative time, lunch time, all of that. I've baked some popcorn. I've made fudge. I've made omelette. I still do pancakes. That's my specialities. Pancakes, popcorn, and fudge. Samuel has made cookies, melting moments. Gustav has made a chocolate cake. Lucy has made cookies as well, chocolate cookies. Lee's, well, she's always making things. Baking, not baking, but making. So it's been going well. One thing that stood out for me in this time is just the privilege of eating together as a family. That's been really special. The family time has been really special. And eating together almost all the meals, breakfast, lunch, supper, being together as a family. And that reminds me of Jesus in the Gospels. If you look at the Gospels, you will often see Jesus is going to someone's house. He's coming from someone's house. He's planning to go to someone's house. There's often meals involved. Often there's people, there's fellowship. And Jesus reaching out to different kinds of people. And that's just the amazing thing of Jesus. He didn't worry. He reached out to everyone. Remember the Jews in the time of the Bible? They hated the Pharisees, the Samaritans. They didn't like the Pharisees. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, different groups. But especially of the Jews, they didn't like the unclean. If someone is sick, they despised them. If the lepers were kept outside of the city, the sick were removed from society. The Samaritans, they say, if the shadow of a Samaritan in the marketplace fell on food, the Jews would not buy that food anymore. They will just throw it away. That's how difficult, how harsh it was between these different groups. But Jesus was totally different. Jesus just came in there. He spoke to the Samaritans. He spoke to us. That was a big no-no. He spoke to women. That was a no-no, especially if a woman was married. When you speak to a woman, you had to get a husband to be there as well. You speak to them together. Jesus spoke to women. He spoke to Samaritan women. Remember in Luke, John 4. He reached out to the sick. He touched the sick. He touched lepers. He didn't despise anyone. He reached out to everyone. He loved everyone. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus. Now, I remember there's the story about Zacchaeus in the Bible. You know Zacchaeus, the guy that was so short? He's probably one of those guys that you find at school. The teacher will say, "Class, can you please stand?" And then, "Zacchaeus, can you please stand as well?" "Oh, you're already standing. Okay, that's fine." He's that guy. So Zacchaeus, he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to meet Jesus. He wanted to spend time with Jesus. And one particular day, close to Jericho, we find Zacchaeus climbing a sycamore tree. And he's just sitting there and he's waiting for Jesus. Maybe he's heard through the grapevine about all the miracles. He's following Jesus on Facebook and on Twitter, on Instagram. He's seeing all the miracles. Lots of people are saying things about Jesus. And he's got a desire in his heart to get close to Jesus, to hear about Jesus, to see Jesus. So he's climbing this tree, and Jesus and the followers are passing by under the tree, and Jesus is looking up and he sees Zacchaeus sitting in the tree. And that's actually a piece that I just want to read for us in Luke 19, verse 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Before I continue with that, I just want to stood still at that last verse. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." Jesus. Jesus was just different. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus speaking about his Father. That was his ultimate thing. In John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus saying, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the Jesus that we are reading about. And that day, Jesus met Zacchaeus. He went to his house. I would have loved to know some of the conversations that would have taken place there in the house of Zacchaeus. I imagine that Zacchaeus would have spoken to Jesus, heard about the stories, but he must have seen something in the life of Jesus. Maybe peace, maybe a freedom, maybe the love, experienced the love that Jesus had for him. And that changed his life. So much so that he said, he's going to do something different. He's going to take his possessions, the money that he took from the people, and he's going to start to give it back. Basically, it's almost like he realized what he's done wrong. He repents of it. He makes a U-turn. And he starts to make things right. And Jesus acknowledged that by saying salvation has come to this house. The amazing thing is we know in Matthew 5 verse 8, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to his disciples and to the crowd, the pure of heart will see God. Now Zacchaeus' name, the meaning of his name is pure, and he wanted to see God. That's just an interesting fact on the side. But that day, Zacchaeus' life changed. It changed radically. And that is what happened if Jesus comes walking into our house. When Jesus walks into our situation. And I know that right now we are in lockdown. It's a very difficult situation. We are all experiencing lockdown in different ways. We're trying to manage things in different ways. We're trying to see where we can save money. There are salary cuts. Some of us, we are without work. We're not sure how things are going to come back to normal again. We don't know how our companies are going to survive. We don't know where food is going to come from. This is a desperate, desperate situation. But the one thing that Jesus promised us, the one thing that will help us in this situation, is his presence. It is the presence of God in your and my life. That is just amazing. I know in my life that I had many difficult situations. And I know that some of you are now in a difficult situation at home. Maybe the relationships are a bit difficult. Especially when we are together for such a long time. It's easy for relationships to be strained, to become difficult, for things just to be tense. Things can be difficult at work. Things can be difficult at work, working at home. Things relationally can be difficult. There might be feelings of loneliness, feelings of helplessness, feelings of despair, anxiety. Every time we walk out the door, maybe you think, what if I'm going to get the virus? What if I'm going to be infected? What if? What if? What about my family? What about my parents? What about my family in other countries? There's so many things that's going through our heads at the moment. So many thoughts, so many things to worry about, so many things to contemplate about. And then there are maybe some other things. Some of us, we might still be struggling with addictions, struggling with difficulties in our life, battles that we want to overcome, things that we are trusting God for, things that we are standing in faith for, things that we are praying for. Maybe for some, life feels empty. Life feels directionless. Right now, you're more confused than ever before. You thought your life is you've worked out your life. Everything is in a box. You've planned it. But now the whole apple cart is thrown over. And you're not sure anymore. You're not sure how tomorrow is going to look like. You're not sure where money is going to come from. It's just so, so difficult right now. Some of us, we might be grieving. A lot of people are dying because of the coronavirus. My heart goes out for so many people in this time that's really grieving the loss of a loved one. Really, yeah, just trying to manage the emotions, trying to manage all the feelings, the loss, the grief. Maybe some of us, we just need perspective. We need God to come and to show us His perspective again. Sometimes we are just disappointed, we're just disillusioned, and we're just floating. We're just managing, just hanging in there. And this morning, I just want to encourage you. I want to say to you, God is with you. You can know that. You can know that you are not alone. That is the one thing that God promised us in the midst of everything. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you're thinking, what you're going through, what's happening in your life, what's happening in your business. The one thing that God promises you is His presence through His Holy Spirit. I remember that that piece in the Bible which says Jesus went to heaven and he saw the disciples and they were troubled. They were worried. They were walking with Jesus for 3 years. And they said, "No, Jesus, you're going away. What is going to happen to us?" And Jesus said, "It will be better for you that I go away, because I will send you my helper, the Holy Spirit, and He will be with you." The Holy Spirit, another name for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, the one that comforts us. There must be a reason why Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Jesus must have known that we will go through times that it's going to be really uncomfortable. And then we will need the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Jesus must have knew that we are going to go through times where we will need a helper. And He sent us the helper, His Holy Spirit, the one that is with us, the one that we can talk to, the one that we can listen to, the one that we can ask for perspective, for wisdom in this time. Jesus offers us His Holy Spirit. Right, so I remember at primary school, Mr. Silhier, the headmaster of the WERP, he was my coach. I was playing in the under 13 team. One day we were going to Jan van Riebeeck Primary School in Cape Town. The game was, I wanted to say evenly poised, but it wasn't evenly poised. We were behind 21-5 at halftime. The Jan van Riebeeck guys, they were really big. They were swapping the forwards and the backs all the time. We got in the changing room. Mr. Silhier was there and he said something like, "Guys, you can do this. You go out there, you give it your best. We're going to do it." So we got out of there and we tackled like crazy. All the moves, I remember that we had a Neil Berger, an inside pass where the right wing will come through and just try to run over people like the old Neil Berger of Western Province. And we had a dummy skip, we had a loop around, we had the dummy pass, all the moves. We pulled all those moves. Suddenly it started to click. Things happened. And we won that game 24-21. We were behind 21-5 at halftime. It was an amazing comeback. But many of us, we've got these comeback stories in our lives. Or we've got testimonies in our life. And this is a time where we need to hold on to those stories. We need to think back over our lives. Think back of the times where God came through for you. I remember, I've got so many desperate situations where I was, where I was in a desperate situation and God came and pulled me through, where I didn't see a way out. Maybe my second year at university when I was studying engineering, I didn't pass one of the subjects. They didn't want to allow me to continue with my engineering degree. It's before I changed to computer science. I took the car, my parents' car, I drove to Jonkershoek, sitting next to the road, and just cried. I cried and cried and cried. And I said, Lord, how will I ever get through this? I had a study loan at the time. I didn't know how things are going to change. Long story short, I changed my course to computer science. I completed it. And in my final year, someone came and gave me a check, the full amount for my study loan, and they settled it. I remember with my business, with my other business that I had for a few years, it wasn't going so well. I needed more income. I remember many evenings sitting on my bed all by myself, just crying out to God, say, Lord, help me, God, open a door for me, show me what I can do to earn an income. Gustav was born, my eldest, and it was desperate. And I went for an interview at a company that I used to work for as a software developer. It didn't go well. But through that interview, I got an interview at another company that I worked for almost 5 years. And it was just amazing how God came and opened a door for me and provided for me another chance. I remember on missions being in villages in Mozambique where people, the villagers came, they surrounded the vehicle, they picked up stones, they wanted to stone the vehicle. I remember that day very clearly, and I thought, there's no way that I'm going to get out of here alive. I remember being stuck in a canoe in Lake Malawi with Billy Bray, my friend that's still there in Malawi, working there. And somehow the water came over the canoe. We were in the middle of the lake. Didn't know how we were going to reach the side again. Everything sank. The boat was drifting just below the surface. We went on our back with our life jackets, and a few hours later we were out again. So it's all these stories of moments where I thought, this is the end. This is the end of crying out to God and God pulling us through and God pulling me through and pulling my family through and pulling my children through and pulling me and Lee through. Like moments where we were in ICU with Gustav's finger that was really hurt and he needed plastic surgery. Things like that. We think, God, you're crying out to God. Say, God, save me. God, help me. So many times. And every time, you know where was God? Right in the middle of that. He was right. He was there. He was there with me. I didn't know it. I didn't realize it at the time. But he was there with me. And I cried out to God and said, Lord, save me. And I want to remind you today that God is with you. God is not in lockdown. Jesus is not quarantined. The Holy Spirit is not in quarantine. They are still working. Jesus is busy. Jesus is busy in your life. He's busy in my life. He's busy in my family's life. He's speaking to us. He's giving us his clues, his mysteries. There's this verse that my sister gave to me when I was busy with my matric exam. It's 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth, so that the Lord can show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. It's another translation. And it's so encouraging that we can know that God is with us. God is looking out for us. He wants to be part of your lives. Now, imagine with me for a moment what would be. Now, guys, that's how the Authentic Manhood movie started, if you can remember. That guy that's come on and said, imagine with me what would be. But we will get back to Authentic Manhood. Don't worry about that, guys. We're still thinking of a way that we can do the authentic manhood mornings again. But what I want to share with you is just imagine what it was like for the people in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. That's Adam and Eve. They were there in the garden. They ate that apple, or the fruit, not necessarily the apple. They ate the fruit. They sinned. They believed a lie. They were hiding from God. And the amazing thing that we read in Genesis 2 and 3 is how Jesus, our God, came and he started looking for Adam and Eve. He's calling their name. And he said, "Where are you? Come out. I know what you've done. I know what you've done. Come out." Jesus giving them a second chance. We all know the story of Noah. How Noah built an ark. He was disobedient to God. He built an ark and all the animals came and they were all in the ark. And the rain that came 40 days and 40 nights, and now the water starting to go away, and the rainbow and all the amazing things, and everything was just amazing. Noah and his family came out of the ark. They celebrated. They built a memorial of what God has done. It was an amazing time for them. But then Noah built an he made a vineyard and he got drunk. He had a drinking problem. And his sons found him there. And he had a bad influence on his family. But yet, that was not the end of Noah's story. In Hebrews 11 verse 7, we see how Noah became an heir of righteousness in keeping with his faith. God came and he restored Noah again. He changed his life again. Another character in the Bible is Abram. Abram, Genesis 12 to 23. Abram had this amazing journey with God. We know in Genesis 12, God comes and he calls Abram and he says, "Abram, I'm calling you and your family. Come." And Abram, we read how he stepped out in faith. He said, "I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to go into a new territory, a new area." And where he and Lot is standing in front of the fields and in front of the whole piece of land. And he said to Lot, "You can choose where you want to go." And Lot is looking and he sees the water and the lush areas, the green grass, and he chose that. And Abram is just taking the other part of the land. And then we just see how God comes and he provides Abram with water. How God starts providing for Abram. But Abram had a promise of God that he will have a son and that he will have descendants as many of the stars as the sky. And Abram had a problem. He had a waiting problem. He had a patience. His patience was not his thing. It reminds me of my children, especially if I told them I bought sweets. Because right now we're not going to the shops every day. We will come from the shop. We will buy a few things. We will put it aside. Sometimes there will be there's a sweet. And the worst thing I can do is to tell them that I've bought sweets. Because then they want it immediately. And sometimes we want things that's in store for us or that God has promised for us. We want it immediately. Abram couldn't wait. He couldn't wait any longer. So we read how in Genesis 16 verse 1 to 2, as Sarah came to Abram. Sarah, the slave girl named Hagar, and she came to Abram and said, "See, I am barren. Go and sleep with Hagar. Perhaps we can build a family through her. Perhaps we can do something. Perhaps we can make this happen. Perhaps we can change our situation. Perhaps God has forgot about us. Perhaps, perhaps, all these questions. Perhaps it's not going to happen anymore." And Abram did it. And it was bad. But later we see when Abram was 100 years old, how his wife Sarah gave birth to Isaac. And how God came and still came and provided that promise for them of descendants through Isaac. As many as the stars as the sky. And that's the amazing story, how God came and restored Abram again. Even though Abram bailed out on God's original plan. Even though Abram tried to do his own thing. God came and he made right and he brought redemption. And still today, Abraham is called the father of our faith. And then we get to Moses. Now, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house, just quickly. We know we found him there in the basket in the river. The princess come, Pharaoh's daughter. She found him there. She took him into the house as the son. She raised him up in the palace. But during that time, as he grew older, Moses saw the Israelites. He saw the Hebrews. He saw the Hebrews. He saw his nation. He saw his people being persecuted. Or he saw how the taskmasters, the Egyptian taskmasters, made it hard for them and punished them. And they had to work hard. And Moses wanted to change it. He took matters into his own hand. And we read of one day that Moses went and he killed an Egyptian. And he just thought nobody saw him. And later, again, we read in the Bible, two of the Hebrews, they were fighting. And Moses came there and he said, "Stop fighting." And they said, "Who are you to judge over us? You killed an Egyptian." And then Pharaoh found it out and they wanted to kill Moses for that. And he ran away and he went to his father-in-law and he was in the desert for 40 years. And at the time when Moses was about 80 years old, we get to the story of the burning bush. We get to the piece where where Moses is walking, he's just tending the sheep. And there's a bush that's burning, but it's not burning out. And from that bush, God started to speak to Moses. And he said, and he's calling Moses again. He said, "Moses, I want to use you to lead my people out of Egypt. I want to call you. I'm calling you, Moses." Moses initially has got all the excuses. He said, "No, I can't do it. I can't do it." And he didn't feel ready. And he said, "I can't speak properly. How can I go and speak to Pharaoh? He's afraid. Maybe they will kill him. Maybe they will remember what he has done." But after all of that, we know how God used Moses mightifully to let the people out of Egypt. And in the desert, many, many miracles. Now the people moaned and moaned and moaned. And Moses kept on following God. He kept on leading the people, instructing the people. He received the Ten Commandments from God. Even though he made all these mistakes, we know he didn't enter the promised land. But the amazing thing is later in the New Testament, we see Jesus climbing a mountain or going up a mountain with two of his disciples. And then you see two figures appearing next to Jesus. And one of them is Moses. Moses. It's almost like Moses has been restored to glory, to something special. So in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Jesus, Moses was still a warrior, still a champion for God. And that's what I feel that God wants to do for each one of us. Doesn't matter what our situation is today. Doesn't matter what's going on in our life. Doesn't matter the mistakes that we've made. It doesn't matter. There's a second chance. We can have a comeback. We can come back to God. We can come back to Jesus. We can invite him in again. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. He wants to show me new things, new strategies, new wisdom. We can go on and on and on. Look at many, many examples like this in the Bible. We can go on and talk about testimonies and miracles and things that God has done. But maybe all of that doesn't matter. Maybe you are still in a dark place. You're still in a difficult place right now. You are listening to this and say, "Yaku, yeah, right. This is easy to speak about all these things. It's easy to mention it. Easy to mention this thing. You don't know what's going on in my life." But I want to tell you that Jesus knows what is going on in your life. And he promised you his presence. And he promised you that he is with you, even though it seems that you are going through the valleys of the shadow of death. Jesus is with you. And circumstances may be out of your control. You might not know how to handle it. You might not know how you can go through it. Maybe there's even some things that is happening to you as the result of bad choices, bad decisions, bad things that you've done. It doesn't matter. Jesus is with you. He's right there. And the great thing is, we don't have to do a lot of things to bring change. We don't have to take a program to say, here's 15 steps what I must do to get back to Jesus. Here's this book. Here's this program. Here's this to-do list. No, this is not necessary. The solution lies in we can just reach out to Jesus. We can just have faith again. Faith in Jesus. David described the need for God in Psalm 63 so beautifully. With David, often in his life, he was going through very difficult times. And we found Psalm 63, just an amazing psalm where David first start by just describing the situation. And then just look at what he wrote there. First he says, "You God," verse 1, Psalm 63 verse 1, "You God are my God, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." These are the words of a man that's really in turmoil. It's in a difficult place, in a dry and a parched land where there is no water. But David continues, "I've seen you in the sanctuary and behold your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." Another translation say, "I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." And here comes the change. Here comes the song in the night, the song in the darkness, our darkness. It's where David said, "I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands." Another translation says, "I will bless you as long as I live. I will praise you." Does that seem like a strange thing to do? But that is the answer. We need to praise God. We need to lift up our hands in worship to God. Doesn't matter our circumstances. Doesn't matter what's going through and what's happening in our lives at the moment. Doesn't matter if the lockdown that is going on. Doesn't matter if the economic situation in our country. Doesn't matter about the decisions that are being made or not being made. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. God is still the great God, worthy of our praises, worthy of our honor. And we can come and we can lift up our hands in praise. We often lift our hands in praise, and we often lift our hands in thankfulness when something amazing is happening. Then it's easy to praise God and say, "Lord, you are just amazing. I thank you for the breakthrough. I thank you for the provision. I thank you for what's been coming my way. Thank you for healing." But in the same way, we can praise God in the midst of our circumstances. In the same way, we can worship God and say, "Lord, I know that you are with me. I know that you are bigger than my circumstances. I know that you are still in control." In the same way, when we worship God, we proclaim his sovereignty over this world. We proclaim his sovereignty over this lockdown. We proclaim his sovereignty over our situation, over our families, over our work situation, over our companies, over South Africa. We proclaim him when we sing to God. We praise him. We lift up our hands. We acknowledge that someone exists that's greater than me. That someone exists that's greater than my problems. And that's how we respond. That's how we respond to God. We respond by faith. We respond in reaching out and say, "Lord, come and help me. Lord, help me." Acts 16 verse 31 invites us with one straightforward declaration. It says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And that's what we can do today. We can lift up our hands. And that's the invitation this morning. Doesn't matter what we are going through. Doesn't matter the circumstances. We can praise Jesus. We can reach out to him. I want to invite you to make a list. Take some time and write down two things that you are trusting God for, or two things that you want to change. or two things that you say, Lord, this is what needs to happen in my house, or this is what needs to happen in my company, or this is what needs to happen in my life. Write down two things and then take communion. Take communion and remind yourself of the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus that was broken for us on the cross. And through that, we can have life and life in abundance. Through the power of Jesus that was on that cross. But when Jesus was resurrected, the power that overcame death, the power that's still there and available for each one of us. Communion. Write down two things. Take communion. And then lift up your hands. Lift up your hands to God. Worship God. Put on music. Worship God in your house. Lift up songs to the Almighty God. Lift up God above and praise Him above the darkness. Praise Him above the lockdown. Praise Him above death. Praise Him above your family and the situations and what's going on and the loss of income and the loss of work and everything, the desperation, the broken relationships, the depression, the turmoil, the loneliness. Above everything, praise God. Acknowledge Him. Lift up His name because He's present where you are. He sees everything. He knows you. I want to read for us Exodus 3. There where Moses stood in front of the burning bush and where he met God. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I that I should do this?" And God said, "I will be with you. I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Right here, you will come together and you will worship God and you will bring glory to my name. But then God continued, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. I am has sent you.'" And the great I am is the one that's with us still today. Now remember Zacchaeus climbing that tree, meeting Jesus. Jesus said, "I want to come to your house, Zacchaeus." Imagine the conversations that was going on afterwards. When Zacchaeus took this money and he said, "I want to give back fourfold the money that I took from people." So he went to people's homes and he's knocking on those doors. And he said, "Hey, Simon, hey, Judas, hey, Peter, hey, Yaku, hey, Tommy, hey, Daniel, I'm here. This is the money. Here it is. I own you. This is a tax refund. I'm bringing you. I took too much." Imagine the buzz that must have been going on in that town. Where people say, "Hey, did you hear what Zacchaeus is doing? He's coming to my. He came to my home. He brought me money. But not only money, he brought me four times what he owed me. I can't believe it. I don't know how this happened. The only thing he said to me is he spent time with Jesus. That Jesus went to him. Can you believe it? Jesus went to visit a tax collector. Jesus went into his house. It's unbelievable. Imagine the buzz. Imagine the stories that must have been going on at that time. People started to talking. I imagine what they must have said is, "I want to go and I want to meet this Jesus for myself. If he can do this in Zacchaeus' life, what else can he do? Maybe he can listen to me, and maybe he can touch me, and maybe he can change something and bring change in my life. Maybe I can experience a miracle, I can experience a breakthrough." And that is the same thing I believe that Jesus wants to do for each one of us. He is with us in our homes. Jesus is ready to meet with us. He's right there through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in our homes. He's not only going to our house, He's in our house. And we have an opportunity to speak to Him. We have an opportunity to bring our hearts to Jesus today. We have opportunity to worship Him. Say, Lord, speak to me. Give me perspective. Help me to get through this time. I want to worship you, Lord. I acknowledge you as the Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Talk to Him. Worship Him. Listen to Him. And I believe that your and my life, when we do that, will never be the same again. Amen. I want to pray for us. I trust that this word will edify you. I trust that you will make this list, the things you will take some time to meet with Jesus. Take some time to stop the noise, stop the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter, the internet, the news channel. Stop all of that. Put off your phone. Write down the things that you are standing in faith for. Write down the things that you are thankful to God for. And speak to Him and listen and worship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we can have in your presence. I thank you, Lord, that you are still with us, the God of the Bible, the God of yesterday, today, and forever, the Almighty God, the one that said to Moses in the desert that I am with you and I am the great I am and I will be going with you. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that doesn't matter what's going on in our lives right now. Doesn't matter what's going on in our businesses. Doesn't matter what's going on in our companies and in our homes, with relationships, anything, that we can bring everything to you, Lord, that we can submit it all to you in Jesus' name. And you are ready, Lord, to answer us. You are ready to speak into our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our community. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's been giving so faithfully to the body surf and to various places and for the food parcels that's going out and is changing lives. I thank you, Lord, for words of encouragement that's going out right now where people are phoning one another, speaking to one another. I thank you, God, for small groups that are still meeting together, encouraging one another. I thank you, Lord, for our times of intercession on Monday evenings where we can spend time and just praying together. I thank you, Lord, that you are answering our prayers, that you are walking with us through this time of lockdown, that we are not alone, that no one is alone, that you are with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. That you said that you send us your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is available, our helper, our comforter. And I pray right now, Lord, where there's someone that's lonely or depressed, people living in fear, that you will come through your Holy Spirit and touch each one right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will bring comfort, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for your perspective in this time. I know many of us, we've got many opinions about so many things, Lord. But we know, Lord, your counsel, that will stand. Your perspective is what we need. We pray for that in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, help us to operate in your love. Help us not to judge and not to be critical in this time, but help us to love. Help us to pray for our government, to pray for the people around us. And thank you, Lord, that we can bring our country, South Africa, before you, God. And we can trust you for everything. We can trust you for our lives. We can trust you for our church. We can trust you for our companies. In Jesus' name, and know that you are the Almighty God. We worship you, God. Lord, I pray, help us to worship you in all circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. Please reach out to us. Please email us at heidelberg@shofaronline.org. Or you can WhatsApp 0325487 47. If you have prayer requests, let us know. And we would love to connect with you and pray with you. And make this list. Write down those things that you are trusting God for. And remember to bring us your testimonies, to share it. We would love to share it with our church community. and to share what God is still doing in our midst. Thank you.